Today it is my great pleasure to have with me David Tete, who was born in the Congo and graduated from Chevres High School. He has taken classes at the University of Southern Maine and is the founder of Keisho Wazo, a youth art collective in Portland. Keisho Wazo means tomorrow's ideas in Swahili. And with David, I have Isaiah Taylor, who is a Portland-based musician. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having
Thanks.
Me.
So you're doing good things here in Portland, both of you.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you come highly recommended from Adam Burke and other members of the community, and obviously the work you're doing with Keisho Wazo. Mm-hmm. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah, you're pronouncing it correctly. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Adam is he's a good mentor of mine. He works with like Teen TED Talks. Actually, he reached out to me after the vigil we had, and he took me. We had coffee, and we kind of talked about like just my life and like my high school and how I started Keisho Wazo. And he's really surrounded me with like the right people, like this. Like he connected me with Paul, and he's given me a lot of opportunity. So yeah.
So why is art so important? Why do something like what you've done with Keisho Wazo?
Well, art wasn't always like important to me. Like it wasn't always like my first priority. In high school, I was mainly focused on basketball, and I didn't really like see myself in the arts. But although arts was in my family, like my mom is a fashion designer, her dad was a painter, and like art is in my family. But I saw myself doing other things, and because basketball wasn't really like the path I wanted to go down, and just seeing that. Like, I like fashion, I like clothes, and like, I wanted to bring something that kids can come and be creative, not just with art, but like with themselves. And art was something that I found I could express myself with. So I was like, all right, I wanna do this. I wanna make this platform for everybody to come do everything that they wanna do. And I feel like art here, especially, we have a culture. We have the right culture to do it. We have a diverse culture. There's a lot of kids that are multi-talented and stuff like that. And so, why not the arts?
Yeah. Isaiah, is that how you know David?
I actually knew him through basketball.
Yeah.
And after like 3 or 4 years, once I saw him start getting involved, it was just kind of natural. He was doing everything by himself. And
there's actually a funny story behind that. He's not here to tell it, but so we grew, when I was growing up in high school, like he was a senior when I was a freshman. And I used to hang out with him and his friends. Like, I was kind of like the youngest one. And like, they all used to like pick on me, but he was like kind of like my big brother. Like, he would like mentor me, be like, all right, like, do this, do that. But over the, after he graduated, we didn't really lose contact, but we stopped seeing each other. He was kind of like in New York and stuff like that. But after the vigil we had in July this summer, I had a vigil, and there was the paper came out, Portland Press Herald, and I was on the cover. And the first person to call me in the morning was Isaiah. And he was like, oh, he called me. He's like, yo, I missed his call. Like, I didn't pick up his call. And then he called me. He's like, oh, like, so you answering now? You think you Hollywood now or something? And I was like, nah, I didn't answer. I couldn't answer. And like, after that we met up, and he's just like, I see what you're doing. And like, I wanna help you. I wanna mentor you. So like, that's the story behind it.
Better told by him.
Yeah.
Well, and from what I understand from David, you are a superstar.
Yeah.
Trying to get there. Working my way there.
Tell me about your music.
I've been rapping for probably like 5-6 years. Started in high school. It's always been kind of natural. I've been just surrounded by music my whole life. My mom was a singer. But yeah. When I was in high school, I was kind of the only one doing my own music, independently recording myself, singing, rapping, whatever it was, making beats or whatever. So it's kind of like my position within this whole thing with Keisho Wazo. Even though I'm not, I try to stay away from decision making. I try to let him make most of the decisions. But when it comes to music, I just add a certain touch because I've been traveling for a little while in Boston, New York, or Florida, and things like that, doing shows. So I have other experiences that I feel like I can bring back to Portland and show, and then kind of educate the youth about how because music is art at the end of the day. So it's all about perception, and we have different perceptions on art and music, even though they're kind of similar and the same type of thing. So,
and when I think of music in Portland, I think of my first person that comes to mind is him, because in high school, like, I remember all my friends being like, "Oh, like, did you hear Isaiah's new song, blah blah blah?" And I'm like, "Yo, I heard it like 30 days before you. Like, I already heard it before you." And just in terms of like Kisho Wazo is it's everything, in the sense that it's everything that that's influential. Music right now is probably the most influential thing for young people, you know what I mean? And we want to change how music is viewed, how black men are viewed through music, you know what I mean? We have a different story to tell, and we want to tell that story about Portland through our music. And it's really hard. I feel like we're isolated in a way because people look at Maine like, oh, like, there's not really many artists from Maine. There's not many really, like, people that do rhythm and poetry from Maine, rap in Maine, you know what I mean? They're kind of outcasted. Like, even locally, people will be like, well, like, they wouldn't particularly listen to a local artist, you know what I mean? And so, like, that's where, like, his mentorship is helping me express, he's helping me grow with my music, but also helping the whole community, helping other people understand that we're not just local artists, you know, we're not just local musicians. We have a story to tell. We want to tell the story about Maine.
So what is your story?
It's crazy. That's a deep question. It depends on where you want to start. Where do you want to start with that?
You can take it however you want to.
My story is, so I immigrated to this country when I was 2 years old with my mother and my two sisters. And growing up, I never really had a father figure in my life. And I was kind of that outcast, weird kid who was always doing what he wasn't supposed to do. Like, kids were playing basketball and I was doing taekwondo. Kids were playing soccer and I was skateboarding with my white friends. You know what I mean? I was always a misfit, kind of. And I feel like that, it developed my mind to, like, I really feel like I'm an individual. Like, I think for myself, I won't, like, peer pressure is not something that I had to, like, deal with. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like people were mostly peer pressured into, like, doing things that I wanted to do, you know what I mean? Like, my friends were always trying to do what I wanted to do. And that, I didn't really understand that up until, like, high school, understand that, hey, you can be influential in a way that's positive. Like, I don't want to be popular for picking on people. I don't want to be popular for that. I want to use what I have to, like, tell the story. And my story right now is developing in a way that I can help other people's story be told through Kesha Wazo. Growing up was really hard for me without having that outlet of a male figure, but my mom really was strong, and she, like, without her, I wouldn't be where I am right now. I kind of went off topic with that question, so that's crazy. I'm gonna stop right there. But yeah, I guess my story is just, I'm a young indigo I'm searching for energy, to give energy and just spread peaceful vibes, I guess. Yeah.
So what do you think is the view of young black men in music? You referenced that.
Yeah. Because he's an artist, I'm an artist too, but I want to hear what you have to say, and then I'm gonna second that, because
The views of young black men?
Well, I think yeah. What perception. David was saying is that there's a perception.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what is the perception that you're working with?
For me, what I noticed is it's kind of black or white. Not color, but it's kind of, you're either here or here. It's like you're representing negative, negative actions and sort of things that we're trying to get away from. Or you have to be completely all the way conscious and all the way maybe even pop type music, like things that everybody's trying to forget about this stuff, so you have to make music that's completely opposite of that. So it's like you either have to be kind of talking about it and bringing attention to it, or just kind of dismissing it altogether. Besides that, it's just kind of in our community as well. It's not only like in the outside community. In our own community, it's kind of just like we have these certain expectations that it has to be, you have to fit into one type of box. So that's why me and him coming together is better, because I'm more on like an artist side, or not a, well, a musician side, and he's like more on like a creative fashion type of thing, but that's not really, not accepted, but it's not really normal in mm-hmm. this side of music, you know what I mean? So that's why it's kind of like, even just me and him collaborating and connecting and sharing our ideas and talking yeah. through conversation and energy and whatever, we're making each other better. Mm-hmm. So it's like, me as an artist, I'm being able to lean more in the middle now. Like, I'm actually getting pieces from this side, pieces from this side. I understand how these people live, and I understand how these people live and why they think these people live wrong. And it's like, so I'm trying to bridge the gap myself, and he's helping me do mm-hmm. that. So it's like, I don't know, we're just trying to break down the barriers, kind of.
I see that. To me, I feel like as a young black, we said rapper, right? Like, as a rapper, they want, not they want you, but it's not, all right, so for me, I haven't released any of my music. Like, he hasn't let me, but it's not the right time for me to release music right now, because it's too much for people. People will be like, well, why are you trying to do everything? Well, they wouldn't understand like what I'm saying, you know, not even what I'm saying, but it would just be like too much. You'd be like, oh, like he's trying to rap now too. Like, I'm doing art, I'm doing like fashion, all this stuff. It's, people are gonna be like, well, he's trying to be Kanye West. They're not gonna understand, they're not gonna listen to the words that I'm saying, you know what I mean? Especially because I'm not swearing, I'm not like your typical, you know what I mean? I'm not talking about stuff that I don't do, I'm saying real life stuff. Like, I'm saying stuff that I truly believe is real. And if you're not playing to people's ears sometimes, you're gonna be outcasted. You know what I mean? Like, my voice is not gonna be held to that standard. Like, they're gonna be like, well, he's kind of not playing the role that we expected him to, so we're not gonna, you know, it's not the time for him to release music. And that's something that I really want to change, because I feel like it has nothing to do with the people who can't, I mean, it has everything to do with the people before me. I respect all the artists that came before me, but they made it hard for me to do what I have to do. They made it hard for me to bring up that platform of my music, you know what I mean? And it's even hard around my friends bringing up that I make music, because they're like, man, like, what else? Like, again, like, something new, you know what I mean? But it's like, nah, music has always been a part of me. I remember, like, from kindergarten on up, I was the drum. I've always played the drums, and, like, kind of how I got into music, I always like freestyling. Like, I was always the one, like, when the beat would come on, I'd like freestyle, blah blah blah. And then it's crazy, when the first time he picked me up after the visual, I was like, I was really, really excited to show him that, like, I can sing, I can make music. I was like, listen, like, I played a beat for him, and I remember I sang the whole thing, like, I rapped it for him. He's like, wow, like, you have a lot of potential, blah blah blah. And like, that's not something you hear off the rip, like, from people. People will be like, well, it's mostly negative first, and it was just positive. And I feel like that's what it has to be like that. It has to be positive. It has to be positive feedback first. Yeah. I don't know.
So tell me about Kisha Owazo. It means tomorrow's ideas in Swahili.
Yes.
So what are you thinking? What are tomorrow's ideas, and are they things that you have yourself, or they have things that you're gathering from the people who were involved?
Well, Kisha Owazo developed around this time last year when I was a senior in high school. Like I said, I want basketball. I thought would be my passion. Thought would be like the area that I'd pursue, and that didn't really work out because of like playing time and certain situations that just didn't fall my way. And I was going through a rough time, you know, just figuring out like, what can I do with my life? Like, I literally thought I was going to the NBA, and hitting that reality, like, that hit me. Like, I could literally end up on the news, be another stat, you know what I mean? Like, how can I make my life positive? And I kind of developed in my mind, well, I like being with my friends. I like being with a collective group of people, but how can I create a platform for kids to do positive things? And I asked my mom how to say tomorrow's ideas in Swahili, and she was just like, Kisha Owazo. And I was like, wow, like, I can run with that. Like, I can go with that. So Kisha Owazo, it first developed as kind of like a high school thing. I asked a couple kids in my school who were, I kind of felt like were outcasts too, were kind of misfits, like, not a lot of people understand them. And we made a poster symbolizing Black History Month. It was I wanted the poster to be black, to symbolize Black History Month, but I wanted to put different facts about the whole world on it, you know, like black, like it's a month to just educate yourself, not just about a certain particular race. You should educate yourself on everything, all the stuff that's happening. So that's the first project we worked on. But Kesho Wazo, it's a group of like 25 kids that, it's an art collective, slash, I call it a group of superheroes, kids that we are tomorrow's generation. We have ideas to offer to the world, to grow and to just to make this world a better place. There's a lot of bad things going on and kids don't really have a good platform to express themselves and say, no, these are the things that I want to change. Usually it's adults like who are in charge of these groups, who are giving the rules, okay, we're doing this today. And Kesho Wazo is a place where kids can just be like, okay, I had this idea, how can we make it come to reality? Kesho Wazo is youth, the youth's imagination meeting reality. That's how I would describe it.
So, sorry, Spencer.
No, it's okay.
And sorry to everybody.
Yeah.
So with Kesho Wazo, is there a performance that you do regularly? How do you get these ideas from your collective into the world?
I know, I'm explaining it kind of vague. So Kesho Wazo, it kind of developed through, it was really out of my hands. So in February we worked on that project and then I just started hanging out with my friends regularly. With this group of kids regularly. It started out with a kid from Germany who was a foreign exchange student, another kid from Japan, and two girls from my school, and we started going to art walks and stuff and just like really, really spending time in the city at Space Gallery a lot and just meeting new artists. We weren't doing art at the time, we were just learning a lot of art, taking in a lot of knowledge. And then in the summer, to start the summer, I made a hat and I put the Kesho Wazo logo on it, and like I think I made 12 hats and I put it on my story, and within like 10 minutes everyone was like, yo, I need a hat right now, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, whoa, like, but I don't even know, like, what is this? I didn't understand, but I was like, okay, I like this. Like, I like that. People are understanding that it's a clothing line, it's everything. And then Alton Sterling and Philando Castile were tragically shot by the police, and we had a visual. My friends and I were planning on making a video for another collective of dancers, Pseudo Girls, that Friday, and when we heard about the tragedy, we're like, okay, like let's have like a candle lighting for just teens, like let's just have kids can come and like do spoken word and whatnot. And that's what we set that up, and then it became a Facebook event, and other adults heard about it, and like next thing you know there's like 1,000 people saying they're coming on Facebook, and we're like, wait a minute, like all right, we gotta change this up, so we contacted the police and we contacted Rachel Talbot, who's the president of the NAACP. She really helped us meet with the police, and we set up like a route, and then there was policemen shot in Dallas, and I felt like we had to do something about that too, you know? It's not just, it's everybody. Kesho Wazo stands up for human rights. It's not just one particular group. So we had the visual, and after the visual, I just started getting so many, everyone was contacting me, like asking what Kesho Wazo was, like what, like the news reached out and all this stuff. And at the time I was like, wow, like this is really happening, like it's here, you know? And through that I was able to really dive in and like my ideas can meet reality. Like I got other opportunities to be in art galleries. I think the next event we had after that was a fashion show. Like I released some clothes after that and it was just like, it took off like after the visual, and I'm really thankful for that. And through that we were just able to really influence other kids to be like, wow, I can do anything. I can do this too. And I like that. At first it was kind of frustrating seeing like, I wasn't like, oh, they're copying me, but I was like, wow, like not everyone wants to do fashion. Everyone wants to like model and stuff like that. And I was kind of discouraged, but he helped me a lot. Like I can't look at it like that. You have to look at it. You're inspiring people. People are inspired. They're not like, oh, I want to like forget David, like no, they're like, wow, I like what he did, I can do that too. And to me that's like the best feeling ever. Like that's how human beings learn. We learn through mimicking, so that's cool.
What do you think, Isaiah? What do you think about all of this? Does it seem like there's a lot of energy and a lot of creativity going into something that's still kind of in its early stages of being formed?
Yeah, definitely. one of the main focuses. We're just trying to find ways to stay busy in Portland. He's been doing way more art walks than he'll give himself credit for, and fashion shows, and releasing different clothes, like making these clothes and then releasing them with his logo on them or from scratch with his mom's help. So it's like those things are getting people interested and getting the community to start being involved, and he's starting to have real influence in the community. And whenever he threw a party,
that was crazy.
It was a New Year's party, and it was like over like 600 people, like 200 people lined up outside, and it was just like, but they all came for Keisha Wazo, like to come to the Keisha Wazo event. So it's like people know what Keisha Wazo stands for. They know it means tomorrow's ideas, and they know the history of it, and they know the background. I mean, like our peers, like they know what it's really about. It's just kind of getting them to stand on the front lines,
engage.
So it's like
it's hard because it's a mindset, you know what I mean? And it's like it changes every day. It develops every day, you know what I mean? Like I didn't understand what type of influence I had up until that party. Like I remember, so we're driving up to the party. The party started at 10 and I get there like at 9:30 something, and there's a line like going around the corner, and I look at him and I'm like, what? I was just like, what is going on? I didn't understand. Like I didn't think that many people would come, you know what I mean? And that made me realize like there's a need for this in this city, like this city in particular, not anywhere else. Like this city is so diverse and has so much culture to it, and this mindset, Keisha Wazo, is needed for kids to understand that even if you're not in Keisha Wazo, you still are tomorrow's idea, because you are young and you have ideas. You can do anything you want. And that's what I want kids to understand, is like, even if you're not affiliated with us, you're not with us, that like, just because you don't have a platform, you can create your own. You know, in the mission statement, it says, if you don't like the books, the clothes, and the sports you have, like create your own. You can do anything you want. And that's not what they're telling us at school. There's not many teachers that told me my potential. Like the article that came out in Portland Press Herald, I failed four classes my first year at Chevres. Four classes, I couldn't play basketball anymore. And I failed many more after that too. But like, by the grace of God, I'm here having this interview talking about something that, like, this is my dreams are coming true right now, you know? Like, this is that, I'm enjoying life right now, you know, and I want every kid to feel this. I want every kid to feel like they're not isolated, they're not in that box. And that's Keisha Wazo. It's hard for me at times, because I don't realize like what I have, what resources I have, you know, and that's where like this relationship helps me so much, because it'll be like, no, because he's older and he's lived longer than me, and he's an artist himself, so he knows how to deal with certain situations. And it's like, well, You can't go to this party and hang out with your friends on a Friday night, because you have to work on this event coming up, you know what I mean? And that's things that I wasn't used to, you know what I mean? Like now it's like, okay, like not like I said, I have a calendar, I have a schedule, I have to do certain things to get to where I wanna be, because I feel like we're just getting started.
Is it interesting to try to figure out your own life versus being at Chevres or really any school where somebody says, you do this, and then you do this, then you do this. Yeah. And now you're in a situation like Isaiah, you've been in for the past 4 years, where if you're an artist, you have to be self-motivated to create and to promote and to organize. Mm-hmm. What is that transition like? I guess either one of you can answer that question relatively.
Yeah, we'll start.
Yeah, I guess I'll start. So honestly, that's something that was the biggest change. Having so much control on my day-to-day life and the people I surround myself with and organizing and promoting, it's a lot of power that you have inside, and you just have to find it. Like you said, the self-motivation part, that's really hard to be self-motivated. And the thing that keeps me grounded is just remember the vision. Remember that, like, sometimes I'll get really depressed. I'll be like, wow, like, these kids aren't seeing what I'm trying to doing. Like, the group is not listening, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, well, it's going to take time. And the vision, not everyone understands the vision, like, when it's out, when it's, like, right there in their face. It's going to take me to go like go away from, maybe, you know what I mean? It's gonna take time for people to understand, and just managing myself at, like, I was 17 when all this started, you know what I mean? I had no idea how to answer emails and like PR team and like tweet and all that stuff. It's all stuff that I had to learn, and I feel like that's good. It was awesome, you know what I mean? I went to USM for the first semester, and like I feel like I'm getting, in just these past like 6 months, I've gotten so much experience that it's gonna help me down the line forever, you know what I mean? One of my favorite things that I've ever worked on was I got to collab with this artist from Detroit, who he goes by the name of Yourself, and we worked on a project on gentrification in Portland because there's a huge like housing gentrification crisis, and I live on Munjoy Hill, and so we collabed. I took some photos of areas that are being gentrified, and we made a visual installation at Space Gallery, and that to me is when I saw that I was like, wow, like, I'm not even in art school. Like, I'm not even, like, there's kids right across the street at Mecca who, like, would go their whole lives for this, and I have this opportunity to do this. Like, that's when I realized, like, I gotta stop playing around. Like, we gotta go harder from here. Like, I have to be on top of emails. I have to be on top of every message, and just learning that it's really hard, but I'm lucky I have the right people around me to help me and keep me motivated. Yeah, I guess that's it.
I just think, I was always a believer that education never stopped once you leave the classroom. So it's like, I made a conscious decision to not go to college when I graduated because I knew I had been studying music and pursuing music for like 2 years before that. So my mom eventually understood that I could really just, like, if I'm in this field of music, rapping, engineering music, producing music, and things like that, it's experience. It's not going and sitting down and having somebody, even in a classroom with a professor that studies music. Because I've been in certain studios and certain places where people will sit me down and be like, yeah, like, I understand what you're trying to do, but I don't think you should go to school for that. Like, people have literally told me, like, don't. I went to American, I think it's AI, I forget what's the actual name of it, but it's like a college for music. And I went to visit there and was thinking about a scholarship and things like that. But I just realized I'm never gonna really make progress until I learn how to do it on my own. Like, school will help you how to test your own limits and teach you like what you yourself can handle. And that after school, it's just kind of like, you already know these things, you already know yourself. You're already comfortable in your own skin or whatever it is. So, like, it just takes time to develop, like, an actual schedule and actual, like, workload that you're going to attack at a certain time and things like that. You have to stay on schedule, make sure if you don't have a system behind you and making sure you do these things, like, make sure you have monthly goals, 6-month goals, 3-month goals, like, daily goals, like things like that. So it's like things like that help me to just stay busy and to just stay productive.
I think, and one of the biggest things that I feel like has helped me is networking, just like really putting yourself out there. A lot of people are like, when they're in opportunity, say like they're at an art event or something, like they'll just sit and like look at art. If I don't meet at least 10 people or get at least like some business cards or something, or tell people, hey, listen, this is Keshel Wazo, like, this is what I'm doing, then I feel like there's no point in me going to the event if you're not sharing like what you are. That's how most opportunities come, you know what I mean? That's how I met Erin. That's how this, like, she came to an event that we had and was like, hey, like, I want to work on a project on gentrification in Portland, like, this is what I'm doing, like, can we do that? And then it developed into like a documentary that she's filming of Keshel Wazo for 1 year, and like, that would have never happened if I was like sheltered, like, oh, well, Keshel Wazo. Nah, like, I try to really like articulate and talk to people as much as I can, even if it, like, it's uncomfortable for me. I feel like that's the only way I can grow. And it's really hard sometimes because like, Like nowadays, I used to be able to go on skate down Conga Street and just like no one knows me. I'm not saying I'm like a celebrity or anything, but like it's hard to go places now and like have to talk to everybody when I'm like trying to say I'm trying to just be with my friends and like eat something. Like people will try to talk and like do whatnot, and it's like, man, like I was not used to that. That's the hardest thing to get used to, just always being ready and like respectful to people. But I enjoy it.
And you're talking about Erin. Erin's been in the studio with us, Aaron's and she's been filming.
Yeah. So she's a professor at Colby College, and she's done lots of films herself. And like, I think through this film, I've grown too. I just seeing how the people, just how we got to the point where someone is documenting this. Because I always like, well, like the future's gonna be televised. But now it's being televised. Like. So I know we're on the right track. Once Erin came along, I'm like, all right, we're good. We got this.
So for people who are interested in watching this documentary someday, Erin's last name is?
Erin Murphy. Yeah, I know. Yeah. And I think we work closely with Space Gallery, so the film will probably be shown there, or whatever Erin wants to do. It's up to Erin. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate the time that I've had to spend with both of you. I've been speaking with David Tete, who is the founder of Keisha Wazo, and also with Isaiah Taylor, who is a Portland-based musician, although I'm kind of thinking you're probably going to go beyond the Portland.
Yeah.
Portland-based. Yeah. Someday bigger. Yeah. I think bigger things are in store for both of you. Wow. I really appreciate your taking time to come in.
Thank you so much for giving this opportunity. Thank you for Maine Magazine, and thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm really thankful for it.
Appreciate it. Definitely.